friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near.
Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Isn't that great? I love God's word. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. Hey, good day to you. Good Friday to you. This, of course, July the 15th, 2016. And, yeah, it's Friday. Mark and Jason mix things up just a tad this week. I get to serve you right here on the eve of this weekend. I'll tell you. Yesterday and Wednesday, Mark shared, part of Jason's Sunday message on authority. You can go back and listen to that at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on the audio archives portion of our website. But how's your week been? I'll tell you, it's Friday. Looking forward to the weekend. Praise the Lord. And we've been working on our deck here for the last, seems like, since Jesus was 12 in the temple. I'll tell you, that seems like we've been working at it that long. I'll tell you. But yeah, we tore out our deck. We had a deck in the back, and we tore that out by hand and tools, of course. And so we poured concrete last week, or actually earlier this week, Monday. And so now we're just kind of doing the finalization. We got to put some stepping stones next to the deck because where the dirt was and so forth. So, but it looks really nice. I think by this weekend, by tomorrow, Lord willing, it will be done. And all God's people said, amen. I've never worked so hard in my life, I'll tell you. But I do have to say, I'm earning extra brownie points for my wife, Aubrey. Her love language is service, and my love language is words of affirmation. So I complain to her all the time. I said, I have to build you this closet so you can feel loved, but all you got to do is just say I'm a good boy and I'm good. So, no, we're good. God is good. God is so good. He really, really is. Hey, just a couple of things. I encourage you, if you don't have much to do this weekend, looking maybe something to do with your family, your kids, grandkids, I encourage you to take a look at our event calendar page at our website, greatnewsradio.org. There's, in the next several days, lots of upcoming events right here in our own backyard. Take a look at our event calendar page at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Click on events. Well, I started to do a little study on a book by Jerry Bridges called Respectable Sins, and we're going to do a small study on that here in just a little bit, on ungodliness. It's actually going to be a really good study, I promise you. It's going to be, you got to wear your steel toe shoes. I might step on a couple of toes today, but it'll be a great study, I promise you. We're going to be talking about ungodliness today, right here, on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We want to see. We want to see.
Thanks so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends. Yeah, it's Friday. Yes, you know, I enjoy filling in on a Friday. I really do. It's the eve of the weekend. I think that's a big part of that as well. Hey, I hope you're doing well today. And, you know, pride plays a major factor in the development and the expression of our sins. Wouldn't you agree? But I think maybe there's even a more basic, more widespread, and more apt to be the root cause of our sins, the sin of ungodliness, which we're all guilty of some degree. Now, I know this is not going to be a popular study today because we're talking about sin. I mean, really. But you're saying to yourself, wait a second. We don't think of ourselves as ungodly. I mean, after all, we're Christians, right? We're not atheists. We're not wicked people. We attend church. We tithe. We avoid scandalous sins. How can we be ungodly? I'll tell you what. I read this book by Brother Jerry Bridges. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a wonderful writer. He went home to be with the Lord just a few months ago. But he came up with a book called Respectable Sins, and he had a big chapter on ungodliness. And it said that ungodliness and wickedness are not the same. A person can be nice, a respectable citizen who pays their taxes, a nice, sweet person, yet still be ungodly. If you have your Bible, turn to really quick. We're going to look at a couple of different passages today. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And again, we're talking about ungodliness today. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Now, you see here that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, distinguishes ungodliness and wickedness. He separates them. So ungodliness may be defined as living everyday life with little or no thought of God, or of God's will, or of God's glory, or of one's dependence on God. Here, let me say that again so it can help better download that for you, okay? Ungodliness may be defined as living everyday life with little or no thought of God, or of God's will, or of one's dependence on God. So you see that someone can live a respectable life and still be ungodly in the sense that God is essentially irrelevant in his or her life. We rub shoulders with these people daily, and even for some are sitting in the pews each and every Sunday. Ungodliness. Living everyday life with little or no thought of God, or of God's will, or of God's glory, or of one's dependence on God. And can I take it a step further? Here's the thing that breaks my heart, and I'm sure for some listening today. Here's the sad thing. Many of us who are believers tend to live our daily lives with little or no thought of the Lord. Now, not all, I'm not saying all, but there are some who tend to live their daily lives with little or no thought of the Lord. We may read our Bibles, pray for a couple of minutes, but we go out into our day's activities and live as though God doesn't exist. In that sense, if you look at it like that, in that sense, we are hardly different from our nice, decent, but unbelieving neighbor. James chapter 4, verse 13, 14, and 15, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Friend, God's word is not condemning planning, by the way. God's word does not condemn planning. What he is condemning, though, is planning that does not acknowledge dependence on God. We make plans all the time. In fact, we couldn't live or accomplish the most mundane duties without some degree of planning, right? You know, today is Friday. I had to readjust my week a little bit so I can spend some time with you. I had to plan around certain things I would be doing today. Planning. But sometimes we make our plans without recognizing our utter dependence on God to carry them out. That is one expression of ungodliness. In the same way, we seldom think of our accountability to God and our responsibility to live according to his moral will. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you," this is Paul writing here, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Woo! Paul wanted the Colossians to be godly people. That was his desire for the people. Friend, is that your desire for the people you know? For them to be godly people? For them to fall in love with Jesus? Is that the desire you have for your kids? Is that the desire you have for your grandkids? Your church family? As we see here, Paul was praying a God-centered prayer for the Colossian people. See, for the Apostle Paul, all of life is to be lived out in the presence of God with an eye to pleasing him. Colossians 3, if you have your Bible, Colossians 3, 22 to 24 says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Paul said, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. This provides us a principle by which we are to seek to live godly lives in the context of our jobs. Yet how many of us, I'll be honest with you now, how many of us seek to live by this principle in our daily lives? I mean, do we not rather approach our jobs much like the unbeliever at times, who work purely for themselves, for raises, promotions, with no thought of pleasing God? Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting raises or promotions, but remember, we're talking about ungodliness today. It's living everyday life with little or no thought of God, or of God's will, or of God's glory, or of one's dependence on God. Do you go to work every day? Do you serve wherever you serve? Do you work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That means that what I do should be pleasing to God. I want God to be pleased with the way I go about the ordinary activities of my day. Friend, is God pleased with the type of friends you have? Is God pleased with the type of music you listen to? Is God pleased with the movies that you watch? Is God pleased with what you look at on the internet? Is God pleased with your checkbook? Is God pleased with your attitude and behaviors? Ungodliness may be defined as living everyday life with little or no thought of God, or of God's will, or of God's glory, or of one's dependence on God. You know, I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Psalm 63:1 says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Friend, these are the desires of godly men of old. Yet for some of us, claim that as our desires today. A person may be moral and upright, yet have little or no desire to develop an intimate relationship with God. This, my friend, is a mark of ungodliness. This is a tough study. I'll tell you what, this was a big part of this was in Jerry Bridges' book, Respectable Sins, as mentioned before, and just made me look inwardly. This is a tough study. Oh, my goodness. Tough. Talking about ungodliness, living everyday life with little or no thought of God or of God's will or of God's glory or of one's dependence on God. So, how do we get back on track? That's the question. You know, as I look and study this myself, I'm thinking, wow, I can see this area I'm doing well in, but this area, oh no. So how do we get back on track? 1 Timothy 4:7. Friend, I encourage you today to write this down, highlight it in your Bible. 1 Timothy 4:7. 1 Timothy 4:7. Says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, watch this now, rather train yourself to be godly. That's it. That's how we get back on track. 1 Timothy 4:7, train yourself to be godly. See, Paul wanted young Timothy and all believers of every age to be just as committed to growth in godliness and just as intentional in pursuing it as the athletes of the day who were competing for a prize that was temporary, by the way. You know, I remember when the latest iPhone came out, there were people camping out at all these stores the night before to be the very first person in their community, the very first person in their town, in their state, to get the brand new iPhone. Would any of us have that kind of zeal for godliness? Friend, we have to train ourselves to be godly. Just like when you go to the gym for the first 2 weeks. You want to do anything but go to the gym. You're thinking of the chocolate cake that's waiting for you on the table. You're thinking of all the things that you could be doing instead of working out. But I'll tell you what, the results are so, so worth it. Really, 1 Timothy 4:7, rather train yourself to be godly. Our goal in the pursuit of godliness should be to grow more in our conscious awareness that every moment of our lives is lived in the presence of God, that we are responsible to Him and dependent on Him. This goal would include a growing desire to please Him and glorify Him in the most ordinary activities in life. Friend, I encourage you today on this Friday to train yourself to be godly. what a beautiful song. Twyla Paris, and we will glorify. Friend, thank you so much for having your radio tuned to Great News Radio today on this Friday, July the 15th, 2016. Just want to quickly remind you to be sure to listen to Sunday worship on Sunday morning as you head to church right here on Great News Radio. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, Mr. Mark Burns will have the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. and for the rebroadcast, 7:32 p.m. Monday. Until next time, friend, just remember, as you go out and about this weekend, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.